Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of spirit of fainting, so they will be called the oaks of righteousness and the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." This passage was read in Jesus' inaugural sermon off the Sermon on the Mount, during his second year of ministry. He was entering into a new land. He was in a new place of ministry. And he was saying, listen, this is who I am. And this is what I do. He is saying, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. I'm a Spirit-filled man anointed by God to bring good news to the afflicted, to bind up, to heal up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. And as Jesus Christ is in the world, so are you. So am I. This message extends 2,000 years later when Jesus comes into your heart and life proclaiming freedom and getting you to freedom. The good news is preached to the poor. It was preached to you in your spiritual poverty, and what you did is you responded and immediately became rich in Christ. And then the scripture would say that he would come and heal up all the brokenness of your life, all the brokenness of your heart, all the things that took place in your life as little boys and little girls, all the hurtful things, all the things that were just hard and difficult that you still think about, that you still look at, or maybe the brokenness of an adult in your adulthood or your teenage years. He proclaims this good news. He pulls you out of the pit. You're no longer poor in spirit, but you're rich in Christ. And now he's healing you up. But then he comes on and he says, and then I'm going to set you free. I'm going to proclaim liberty. I'm going to say you can be free. And then I am going to actually open it up. I'm going to open up the prison doors so you can come out of those prison doors and live the life that God has always destined for you to live. And what's so exciting about this passage of scripture is that we are called to this. As Jesus is in the world, so are we. And the reason why we can get to the places of being so miserable and so fearful and so, I don't know, just wherever I am without Christ, is because we haven't taken on this kind of faith to believe that if Jesus is in the world, so are we. To believe that he's called us to the same call, that he's the head of the body of Christ, and you're the hands, and you're the feet, and you're the voice, and you are all that God wants us to be as the church of the living God. To proclaim freedom, and then to help others along. You know, I've often told the story of my own freedom, but there's something really significant about a 27-year-old pastor who's been in ministry since he's 17, for 10 years, who walks in bondage to fear of dying young. And I want to tell you that this passage of scripture was, I guess the best way to explain it is this passage of scripture was played on me in a good way. Because I sat with a man at lunch who said, what's going on in your life? And I tell him what I'm struggling with. And the first thing he does is he proclaims freedom. The very first thing out of his mouth is, you can be free from that. And you can be free from it today. Let me help you to freedom. Let me help you to freedom. There's nothing like the good news that I can be free, that I can be set free from the prisons of my life, where my heart is opened up, and God comes and he takes that out which has bound me all my life. And this is why it's good news. Good news is not, hey, come to Jesus, but you're going to have to keep carrying this junk with you until heaven. That's not good news. Good news is for right now. It's right here. Have you ever had good news? Well, I've invited Philip Warren to come back up. He came and spoke to us a couple of last year about just his testimony about what God had done in his life. And tell us a little bit about, just tell us, catch us up a little bit, or catch some folks up about your story, just real briefly.
I'm Philip Warren. Came to Cottonwood 2.5 years ago. Had met Mike, I guess probably about 2.5, 3 years before that at the Hughes unit. I went to prison in 1992 and was there until October of 2015. Spent 23 years in there.
What was your sentence?
I shot and killed a young man.
No, your sentence. What was
55 years?
55 years. Okay. And like you said last time, your crime was?
I shot and killed a young man.
Okay. You know, the 18 years that I went to the Hughes unit, every second Wednesday, there were always guys saying, I'm coming up again. And what does that mean?
It means you're coming up and going into the review process for parole. There's possibility of being released, or they could, what they call, set you off and review you again for parole anywhere from 1 to 5 years later.
When was your first review?
2006.
Six, okay. And so, obviously, parole board reviewed your case, reviewed it, and said...
Set me off for 3 years.
Okay. So then, 3 years later, you come up.
Yes, sir.
That's what year? I forgot.
2009.
I can add, but I forgot what you said. Okay. 2009, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and so, same thing?
2 year set off that time.
Okay.
And looking, come back up in 2011.
So 2011 came?
And denied parole again.
Okay.
For another 2 years.
Okay. Another one?
Same thing in 2013, and then in 2015, I was granted parole.
Okay. Tell us, parole board has the ability to proclaim freedom, right? And so they proclaim freedom to you, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so it meant that you didn't have to finish your sentence. You got to be set free. So parole board, in essence, would proclaim freedom and then set you free. Tell us how that came to be in your mind, in your heart.
I'm not exactly sure how to answer that without going into the forgiveness that I received.
Just go on and talk about that. That's okay.
Okay. 2013, I came up and was denied parole. And then the parents of the young man that I shot and killed started trying to facilitate my release. An amazing Christian couple who had forgiven me of something that just astounded me. I couldn't figure out how they could forgive me. I could not forgive myself. It got me a special review in 2014, which was denied whenever I came back up in 2015. They were making phone calls, writing letters, even to the point of wanting to give me a job when I got out. And that's the forgiveness that we want from God, not just to forgive us and not be angry with us anymore or hate us, but to be involved in our lives, and would not be sitting here if it was not for their forgiveness and the great lengths that they went to try to ensure my release.
So when you heard that you were free or going to be free, they proclaimed it. How did you feel? I mean, you had to have a certain kind of joy, right?
Kind of a stunned joy, because it's something that I had looked towards and wanted for 23 years. Had kind of reached the point where, you know, I don't even know if this is going to happen ever or not. Lived in constant fear that something would happen to my family before I came home, and now it looked like that was actually going to happen. I was going to make it home to my family. but a great deal of intimidation because did not know what to expect coming home.
So when, you know, I know I've been through those gates. You know, the first time, just as a visitor or a visiting pastor, can be really intimidating. I mean, you're walking through a gate, and then you're walking through a, you know, iron doors that lock behind you, and you're in a waiting area, and then the doors open, you walk out, you go to another gate, and there's barbed wire fence, and then you go walk through a door, and you walk through another two, and then you walk through another one, two, three, four, five gates till you get to the Chapel of Hope. And so, so when you walk out that first gate, I suppose that's the one you walk out of, right?
No, sir. They take you to Huntsville and release you from there.
Okay, so you go to Huntsville, and then when those gates are opened, and you walk out for the first time, a free man, what's that feeling?
Scary.
Okay. That's not what I'm looking for.
It's, well, I mean, it's like this huge weight is lifted off of you. The way Huntsville does it's kind of strange because you think you're going to walk through this big gate and it's the sun comes out and the birds start singing and you go out a little side door and then you come around and you realize that you're out on the street.
Yeah.
But just a sense of awe, a huge sense of relief, and a sense of anticipation,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But realize that it was God that got me there.
Yeah.
I didn't.
So, you know, we know each other. You're in a Bible study with me on Thursday mornings at 7 o'clock. Hint, hint, any guy, Brooks Real Estate. So you're there, and we've had meals together, and we've talked. And but that wasn't really the proclamation of your freedom and then being set free, was it?
No, sir.
Okay. Tell us about the true spiritual proclamation of the gospel into your life, and then how you were indeed set free.
I grew up going to church, had made a mental assent to the existence of God. But it stopped there. I would tell you I was a Christian because there was nothing in my life that would give evidence to it. 2009, I just absolutely got to the end of myself. I was completely miserable, and it didn't have anything to do with my circumstance. And for the first time in my life, I started crying out to God to help me, but not to rescue me from a circumstance, but to rescue me from myself.
Right.
Went through a program in 2010, and everything in my life started changing. During that weekend, I truly surrendered my life to Christ and realized how much of a mess I had made out of my life. I had realized it before that, but it was even clearer then. And just started putting my hope in Him and relying on Christ to work in my life. The day before Thanksgiving 2011, sitting there in the hallway, and for the first time, I was truly at peace.
Right.
There was a lot of things I would change if I could. Obviously, the first thing I would have changed was to be on the other side of the fence that I was in, but there was things in my life I couldn't change, and for the first time in my life, I was okay with that. And for the first time in I don't know how many years, I was okay with me. And at that point, my identity was not the choices that I had made, but my identity was in Christ.
Amen.
And that is the only way I was able to have peace.
So, you know, I've met you I met you after that, did I?
Is yes,
that
sir.
True?
Yes,
so,
sir.
So I didn't know you before Christ, but I know... by just talking with you and visiting with you and the softness of God. By the way, you need to speak up just a little better, okay? Just before us. But I was taken, especially when your parents started coming to Cottonwood and you'd been telling them about Cottonwood for a few years, and it was really great when they showed up at a senior breakfast over at the sale barn, and he said, Jerry said, yeah, our son is in Hughes unit, and I said, I go there every second Wednesday. He said, I know, that's why we're here. My son knows you. and it was just that connection with your folks. And as they started attending, and then I know just the desire of their hearts to see you free. You've come back. You've gotten out of prison. You've got a great job. God's been blessing you. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing. I mean, as far as this proclamation of freedom and then helping people to freedom. I know that you are working out, you're not working, but you're spending time with some folks. Tell us about that.
Okay. I'm pretty involved with recovery out at Touchstone Ranch. I go out there and volunteer some. 2013, when I was coming up for parole, was terrified to pray and ask God to have His will in my life, because I thought, what if He's going to use me right here where I'm at? And then it was a battle within myself as to whether or not I wanted His will or mine. And honestly, I wanted both. But every Tuesday, I go back to the Hughes unit and involved in a program called Bridges to Life. It is a Christian-based program it's a restorative justice program, helps people understand the impact of what they do and the choices that they make, the impact it has on other people's lives. Very hard program when I went through it. One of the best programs that I ever went through. And lo and behold, the Lord is using me in the very place that I was scared to death that He would use me at, but in a much different way than I ever anticipated.
Philip, I'm just really grateful to see what God's doing in your life, to walk in the freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ is such a witness and such a testimony, and now to be a part of the Church of Christ, to be able to proclaim that freedom, and then to help people along, and I'm just really, really grateful that you recognized that when parole board set me free, or proclaimed the freedom and set me free, you realize that you were already proclaimed to and set free. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's without the freedom that Christ has given me, the freedom that the parole board gave me would have been useless.
Yeah. I just want to encourage you to continue to pray for Philip and just to ask God to continue to use him in a mighty way. I want to just clap off. Give a clap offering and we'll. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He's anointed me to do certain things in this life. Wonderful things where God not only comes and proclaims freedom to you and sets you free, but invites you, because the Spirit of God comes into your life to do the same thing that the Spirit of God did in Jesus's life. The same thing. Can you imagine when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you've confessed faith and you believe that what He did 2,000 years ago, He did just for you, and He comes into your life? Do you realize it's the Spirit of the living God that comes into your life? That's what it is. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father praying for you, and the Spirit God, the God, the third person in the Trinity, the Spirit living God comes into your life to set you free, to cause you to be born again. Listen, the Spirit of God is one of the great, it is the greatest gift, because it's the gift of God in your life. And He just doesn't stay there. He just doesn't stay there to do nothing. He comes in to do something great. You know, when you look at this passage in Isaiah 61, and it says, the Lord has anointed me. He's anointed me. It just simply means that the Lord has set you apart. He uses the illustration of anointing oil to place upon your head, to place upon you symbolically in a very meaningful way, to see God do something powerful through your life. He sets you apart. And if you're in Christ today, He has set you apart. He's anointed you with the Holy Spirit of the living God. And there's three things that just real briefly, I want to just talk about the Spirit for a moment. Because the first thing the Spirit of God does is He gives life. He gives life. By the Spirit of God, you're born again. John 6:63 says it's the Spirit who gives life. It's the Holy Spirit that gives life. The flesh, it profits nothing. The words I've spoken to your spirit and your life, but there's some of you who don't believe. It's the Spirit of God that gives life. Job said it in Job 33:4. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath, same word, of the Almighty gives me life. Gives me life. There's no life apart from the Spirit. And there's no life apart from the Spirit, apart from Christ and what He did. And you can chase after every dream. You can chase after every religion. You can chase after money. You can chase after security. You can chase after peace. You can chase after all those things. But apart from Christ and the Spirit, you will never have it. You will never, ever have it. It's the Spirit of God that gives life. Now, John chapter 3 talked about that the Spirit, you must be born again by the Spirit of the living God. It's the only way to heaven. It's the only way to life. It's the only way to peace. The Spirit gives life. Second, we sang this, the first song, the Spirit gives freedom. The Spirit gives freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:17, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Let me ask you a question. How many of you really, really believe that the Spirit of God is living in your life? How many of you really believe that? Man, I believe it with all my heart. And one of the greatest things that you can do when you walk out of here is to be aware that the Spirit of God is in your life, and to be aware of the ever-increasing work of the Spirit, and to be aware that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. There's freedom. The third thing the Spirit does is He empowers you to proclaim the freedom and to help others to freedom. It's the whole point of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Listen, the point of Acts 1, verse 8 is not us going to China or Mexico or any other place that you might go. I'm just telling you, I don't believe that's the point. The point is that when the Spirit of God comes on you, you become a witness of the goodness and the glory and the power and the freedom of God Almighty. Because you can go to China without any of that. You can go to China as a missionary and still be angry at the world and treat people like trash. You can do that. It's the Spirit of God that comes upon you. And it's the Spirit of God that causes you to bring this freedom so that you don't act like the flesh or the world. But you give witness to the power and the glory and the goodness of God, and empowers you to actually help people. To help people to freedom. To help people to the places that God wants them to be. Listen, the Holy Spirit is a powerful, powerful point in your life. It's the only PowerPoint in your life. I mean, when the Holy Spirit comes, He does a ton of things. The Holy Spirit will convict you of sin. He will guide you into all truth. Yeah, He causes you to be born again. He glorifies Christ. He reveals Christ. The Spirit of God sanctifies you empowers you, fills you, teaches you, bears witness that you're the children of God. He teaches you how to pray. He produces His fruit in you. He gives you spiritual gifts. He anoints you for ministry. The Spirit of God gives you an effective ministry. He unifies the body. He unifies the church. He unifies His unifies friends. The Holy Spirit seals you, quickens you, comforts you, leads you. He helps you in your weakness. He gives you access to the Father. The Spirit strengthens you. He emboldens you. He renews you. And like last Sunday, He broods over you. It's the greatest gift. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Christ was raised from the dead, that God did this, that this means that the Spirit of God comes into your life. And just as Jesus would say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He's anointed me, He has smeared me with the oil of goodness and salvation and gladness and power, and then I'm going to bring good news to the poor, and I'm going to be a part of binding up and healing the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. It's a promise that the parole board cannot fulfill. Because Philip will tell you of all the friends that he's made, he got paroled, and how fast they get back. How fast they get back without Christ, without the life change, without the power of the Spirit of God. What's so great about this testimony this morning is that, yeah, he was proclaimed freedom from his circumstances and set free. But listen, you can get free from your circumstances and never be free. Never be free. But this is the promise. It's the promise of the gospel. It's the promise that God places in your heart. It's the longing. It's always been the longing of your heart. It's that you, that He proclaims this freedom in Christ. And we first find this, well, not first, but we see this proclamation in John chapter 8. So go to John chapter 8. Listen, because the Spirit of God is upon us, and because we have the power of the Spirit, we've been born again, and we have the power to proclaim, We are to be proclaiming freedom. We get to proclaim freedom. You can be free. Let me help you to freedom. In John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus speaks of this freedom. Now, let me ask you a question. Is the world free today? Is the world free? Is it? I can't hear you. No, it's not free. This world's not free. They're not free from the power and bondage of sin. They're not free from fear and worry, free from shame and guilt, free from the lies of the enemy, free from self-hatred. There are people who are down. They're not free from anxiety, and they're captive. Maybe you're here today. You know you're in Christ, you raised your hand, but you're struggling with some of these things. You're struggling with fear, anxiety, stress. You're struggling with an addiction. Maybe you're struggling and you don't feel unrestrained. You feel like a slave or that you're bound by something. I know that for several years that was me. In one area. And the greatest word I could tell you that I heard was, you can be free. And I'm telling you this, believe with all my heart, you can be free. You can be free. That is who Jesus is. That's what Jesus does. And that's what Jesus wants you to do. To be able to proclaim the same kind of freedom. Look at verse 31. Jesus was saying to those Jews who believed in Him, if you continue in My word, then you are truly disciples of Mine. And you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Now, you know, you've heard that before, right? I mean, the world quotes this. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And I just want to say, first of all, freedom from the power of sin, because that's the context you're going to see in verse 34. It's the power of sin and what sin does, all that sin does. And so there's this power of the enemy that comes upon us, and he says, listen, I've come to open the prison gate. I've come to restrain you no longer by that junk. You're no longer a slave. You're no longer bound. And I'm going to tell you, I believe with all my heart, it comes from believing in Christ and continuing in His Word and knowing the truth. You got to know the truth. Well, who's the truth? Well, the truth is Jesus. John 14:6 on the screen. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. It's knowing the truth, which is the Word, because the Word is truth. John 17:17, Jesus prayed, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is true. You shall know the truth. You shall know Jesus personally. You'll have a growing, vibrant relationship with Him. How many of you have that? You don't need to raise your hand. Your life with Christ is vibrant. It's full of life. It's full of joy and peace. Is that your experience? Or are you bound? Are you bound by lust? Are you bound by hatred, unforgiveness? Are you still bound by the wounds? Are you still bound? You know, one of the greatest things that I think that you could hear is what Lazarus heard. After 4 days dead in a tomb, he comes out. He's still got the grave clothes on. He's alive. He's breathing. He's cured. He's healed. But he's got the grave clothes on. And what does Jesus say? Unbind him and let him go. You know, I just think about that whole thought, that whole scene. It would be ridiculous for Jesus not to say that and not to do that. And not to call for his friends to go and say, unbind him and let him go. That's why salvation is so much more than a ticket punch to heaven one day. No, you get to be born again. You get to come to life by the Spirit of God. And then you got your grave clothes on. You got all those old habits, all that old stuff, all that death that you walked in. And Jesus says, hey, Rick, go unbind him and let him go. Jordan, go. Go do that. Lissa, go. Go, unbind him and let him go. This is the gifts of the Spirit, folks. It's the Spirit of God saying, you are anointed to not only proclaim the freedom, but to bring freedom to people. It's not just for the hired holy hand. It's for all the shepherds of God. In whatever context, in whatever platform that you have, to be able to speak to people, you can be free from that. That's one of my prayers today, is that the next time you hear somebody with a struggle, that you can say, you can be free from that. Listen, I was 27 years old, knew Christ since I was 8, knew I was going to preach when I was 10, serving in ministry since I was 17. And it's the first time anybody ever told me, you can be free from that. 10 years of ministry. In almost 20 years, life as a believer, you can be free. Man, woman, boy, girl, you can be free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I heard that truth. I embraced it with faith. I believed it. I got in an elevator. I went up 10 stories or 12. I don't remember. And I knew that God was up to something great. An hour later, I walked out of that hotel room, free as a bird, freer than a bird. I knew God touched me. I knew that these chains were gone. I knew that I knew that I knew. There was this proclamation that I began to in that moment, at that meal, at that lunch, began to believe. I began to embrace it. Why not? I know the scripture. If I continue in His word, I'm truly disciples of Him. And I know the truth, and the truth makes me free. You know, I think about that, but you know, I asked the question, is the world free? And you said, no. Let me ask you another question. Do they think they're free? They think they're free. Because they can always find somebody in a worse situation than them. And I must be better, and I must be okay, because that's the mantra of the culture. I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay. No, we're not apart from Jesus. We're not okay. And most people don't think. Look, notice in verse 33, they answered him, these Jews, hey, we're Abraham's seed. He's our father. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it you say you'll become free? Now, you know, I think that's just really a joke. How many years was God's people in Egypt? We've never been enslaved to anybody. Oh, really? You were in Egypt for 400 years. You know how old America is? Seems like a long time, doesn't it? 400 years. Generation after generation after generation under the hand of Egypt. And they have the audacity to say, we've never been enslaved to anyone. Hey, there's people out there that are enslaved, but they don't think they're enslaved. They think they're free to do that. They think they're free to continue in their junk, in their stuff, in their sin, in their anger, in their addiction, in their unforgiveness. They're free to do that. That God understands. I mean, I feel good. I feel okay. Now, not all people think, most people think they're free. They're not. You know, the thought is in this passage of Scripture, with all my heart, is that when you get born again, you get a new father. And like Philip said, a new identity. Notice what Jesus says in verse 34. Here's the context. Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone, now this is how it says literally. It's a present participle. A participle explains a noun and a verb together. The one who continues to commit sin. The one whose habitual thing is to commit sin. He does it over and he does it over. She does it over and she does it over and over again, and there's no change. It's the one who's committing sin. He's the slave of sin. Verse 35, the slave doesn't remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. Here's the proclamation. So if the son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's descendant, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I've seen with my father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your father. Isn't that interesting? Two kinds of people. Well, actually one. And they're different. We all listen to who fathers us. And you're either, the scripture makes it clear. John will make it clear in 1 John 3. The children of the devil are obvious from the children of Father God. They're obvious, he says. You're not even a child of Abraham. You're a child of the devil. Can I tell you something? We won't get to it, but the very end of this passage, do you know what these people do? They pick up stones to throw and stone Jesus to death. Because they're all talking about Abraham. Abraham this, Abraham that. Abraham this, Abraham that. And we love Abraham. But Abraham didn't save you. Abraham didn't deliver you. He was delivered by the same God that comes to deliver us. But Abraham, 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 Abraham. He said, listen, you're not even sons of Abraham. Abraham rejoiced in seeing me come. And he said, listen, you're just not even 30-something years old, and you say you've seen Abraham. And this is what he says. He says, before Abraham was, I've always been. I am. One of the greatest passages of scriptures that says, I am God. Jesus said, I'm God. That's why they picked up the stone. Now you've really gone too far. And we're going to stone you to death. You were before Abraham? Our father? No, listen, that's not your father. Abraham's not your father. If he was your father, you would do these deeds. You would walk in faith. I know you that you're their seed, his seed. Verse 39 says that. They answered, Abraham's our father. And Jesus said, if you are Abraham's children, then do the deeds of Abraham. But as is, you're seeking to kill me, a man who's told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. Jesus said to him, if God were your father, verse 42, you would love me. I proceeded forth and have come from God. I've not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand that I'm saying? It's because you can't hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning. He doesn't stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. And whenever he speaks the lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of that lie. Listen, when you're born again, you get free because of who your father is and what your father does. If you don't get anything today except this, will you walk out of this place with a spirit of faith on you that to know Jesus is to know freedom and to believe that he's your father? Because that's a very good thing. Listen, I'm preaching a very good thing. I'm proclaiming a very good thing about our great God who loved you enough to die for you, to take you out of the bondage of sin and to place you on his rock, Jesus, to give you a new life, a new lifestyle, a new way of living, because God is your Father. God is your Father. You know, John spoke of this in 1 John chapter 3. Keep your place here in John 8. Go to 1 John chapter 3. The whole point of being born again is salvation, but it's so much deeper than that. It's salvation because I become a part of the family of God. He's my father now. Paul calls him his Abba. A term so intimate that's reserved for your baby boy or girl who can't say daddy or father. Instead, they say dada or mama, Abba is usually the first word a baby speaks in the Middle East. Abba. That's what Paul says. He's the Abba. He's our Abba who comes to set us free from the power of sin. And let me tell you why I believe that. Look at verse chapter 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us. 1 John 3. That we should be called the children of God. Now watch. And such we are. We're children of God. Sons and daughters of God through faith. And for this reason the world doesn't know us because it didn't know him. We are children of God, and listen, it's not appeared what we shall be, but we know that when he does appear, we'll be like him because we'll see him just as he is. And if you have this hope on you, the hope that you'll be like Jesus when he appears, then you're going to purify yourself just as Jesus is pure. Verse 4, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Do you know what Jesus said, the way Jesus said, he says, listen, it's those who are practicing sin who slave to sin. Same kind of word, same kind of verbiage. You know that he appeared in order to take away your sins. And in him there's no sin. No one who continues to abide in him, no one who abides in him continues to sin. No one who continues to sin has seen him or know him. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous just as he's righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil is sin from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. And no one who's been born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he can't keep on doing that stuff. He can't keep on doing it. He can't keep on doing this sin. Because he has been born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. Who's your dad? Who is your heavenly dad? You've heard me say this before. You'll hear me say it again. I'm not talking about being sinless. Not talking about sinless perfection. I'm talking about godly direction. That's a new one. Godly direction, where I'm moving toward Christ-likeness because God is my Father. Let me ask you, is God your Father? Because if he is, you'll know the truth. You'll know Jesus. And the truth will set you free. Set me free from what? I'm not enslaved to anything. Well, listen, if you have a ongoing battle with fear, worry, and anxiety, I would say you need to be set free today. And you can be free from that today. If you have an ongoing, I'm going to say it this way. Addiction to anger. Have you heard that one before, huh? You're just addicted to anger. It's always at the surface. Get squeezed, it all comes out. You're just addicted to it. And you hate yourself for it. You need to be free. And you can be free from that today. What do you think an outburst of anger is? This outburst comes out of your life because it's there. And Jesus said, I've come to take away that. When he said, I come to take away sin, I come to take away that. I come to take care of that. You can be free. And you know, there's people in this place that can help you to freedom. So that you get free, so that you have the Spirit of God on you, and you proclaim freedom, and you help others to freedom. I want you to bow with me in prayer, okay? Would you do that? Jesus comes to proclaim liberty, freedom. What are you enslaved to today? What is it in your life that you just can't get loose of? You know, Jesus said, I've come to proclaim good news to those who are poor in the spirit. I've come to heal your broken heart. The brokenness. The things done to you in days past. The things that you hurt over. I've come to tell you, you can be free from that. And you can be free from it today. Let me help you. Let me love you to freedom. We're going to do an invitation today. Be honest with you, last week I was shocked by how many of you came forward. Over 30 of you came to this altar. And I believe with all my heart, you ordered what you needed to order in your life at that altar. Today I have a couple of folks standing up. And if I've asked you to stand up, would you do that right now? And I'm here to receive you. And these two couples are here to receive you for prayer. You may just need to bypass us and go straight to the altar. Because I know what some of us think. I've been living in this anger, or I've been living in this fear and this anxiety so long. Can God really, really set me? Is there really, really freedom? And I ask this, Lord, in the name of Jesus, would you birth within that person right now a faith that believes that what you did 2,000 years ago, you did for them today to proclaim freedom and to set them free. Would you just speak to them right now and just say, yeah, you can be free from that today. Fritcher's just confessing what I confessed 2,000 years ago in John chapter 8. If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. I don't know about you, but that's a great transaction. That's a great trade. I give you my fear. I commit my worry to you. I commit this lust. I commit this anger. I commit these things, this uncertainty at your feet. And I receive the finished work of Calvary to walk in freedom, to proclaim it, and then to help others to freedom. Maybe you're online right now and you're in your home. Maybe you're watching this in a future date. But I'm asking you, would you believe in the power of the anointing of God that comes to set you free from the junk of this world? And would you let us help you to that freedom? Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that your Holy Spirit would fall fresh upon us in this moment. Lord, we have sensed you all morning. We thank you, Father, for what you've done in Philip's life. We want to thank you, Father, that he just didn't get set free from a parole board or the circumstances. He got set free by the Spirit of the living God. And I pray that for everyone in here. Lord, there might be someone in here and says, you know, God has set me free, but not once in my life have I ever helped someone else to freedom. Not once in my life have I ever shared faith with somebody and they've come to Christ. Not once in my life have I said to somebody, you can be free from that. I don't know if I can help you totally right now, but I find somebody who will. Because we believe in the finished work of Jesus. We believe in the power of God. We believe in the love of God. That's what we believe in. He loved us so much with this great compassion that he'd reach down and save the ugliness, save the junk, save us from all the vile things we've ever thought, and save us from all the hurtful things that were ever done to us, to save us, to set us free, so that we can go be a part of setting others free. Oh God, I pray for that kind of faith today. Father, I pray for it. I pray for it. Every one of us in here have friends today that ought to be sitting next to us hearing this message. Every one of us have friends that are in a boatload of mess that need to be sitting next to us hearing these messages from God. And maybe that's the first thing you're able to do to help somebody to freedom is invite them to this place. This place that most of you love so much. This invitation is not just for that, though. Some of you might have gotten bad news this week, and you just need to come on up to the altar and just ask God to just fill you up right now. Some of you may still be struggling over things that you've lost this week. Maybe you've lost a loved one, and you just need to come on up, and you need somebody to minister to you and pray to you, pray for you. So don't think that just if you come up, everybody's going to think that you've got this big thing that you've got to settle. But let me just say this. Even if you do have some big thing, it ought not matter one bit. Because you're responding to the promise of God. Not to me, but to the promise of God. You can be free. Let us help you to that freedom. Oh God, come. Visit us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.